Okay, are you ready?
Good morning. So Monday was a historic day as shipments of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine arrived in states across the nation, including right here in Iowa. And we anticipate that we're just days away from the FDA's final approval of the Moderna vaccine and its arrival in our state. By early Monday morning, a portion of our initial Pfizer allocation was delivered first to the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City and Unity Point Health Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Since then, vaccines have also been received by Mercy One and Genesis facilities, and frontline healthcare workers across the state have started being vaccinated. As of yesterday, approximately 500 healthcare workers have received the vaccine, and vaccinations will continue throughout the week. Today, I am so pleased to be joined by Dr. Clint Hawthorne, emergency medicine physician and medical director of the emergency departments for Unity Point Health in Des Moines. Dr. Hawthorne and his team have been caring for COVID-19 patients since the start of the pandemic, and yesterday he received the vaccine. I've asked him to share his experience with Iowans and his thoughts on what this vaccine means for our recovery from the pandemic. So I want to say thanks for being here, Dr. Hawthorne. And with that, he can't hear me. We'll turn it over to you.
Sir, you're still muted. Go ahead. You need to unmute on your end. Go ahead, sir.
We just need him to look at me. There he goes. Okay.
Thank you, Governor Reynolds, for inviting me to be a part of this press conference. I'm honored to be able to represent frontline healthcare workers from Unity Point Health, as well as across our state as we mark this exciting time. I want to take a moment to thank those same workers who have been diligently caring for all patients during the last nine plus months under challenging circumstances. Their perseverance, resilience, and grit are admirable. Their service is a testament to care in action. Yesterday, I received one of the first doses of the COVID-19 vaccine, along with many other doctors, nurses, and team members at Unity Point Health Des Moines. I've not experienced any negative effects. It is a day we have been looking forward to for months. I've been asked by many how I feel about being vaccinated, and the answer is simple: grateful. Grateful to be amongst the first vaccinated. Grateful to the community of scientists who diligently and with great attention to safety developed an amazingly effective vaccine. Grateful to have hope this will be the beginning of the end of the pandemic and, Lord willing, an eventual return to normal. Many of my fellow Iowans will actively pursue vaccination as soon as it becomes available. Thank you. Some may have questions first. This is healthy. Good questions are part of why modern medicine has advanced to where it is. You have much in common with the scientists who developed the vaccine, who by their nature are also astute question askers. My request is you ask your healthcare provider for reliable sources of information so that you can learn more. Although this is an exciting time and we can see much promise, we should not let our guard down. As a community and a state, we can each do our part to mitigate spread by staying home when sick, wearing a mask, and social distancing. These simple steps are highly effective. In parting, I want to encourage my fellow Iowans to get the vaccine when it becomes available. Your family, your friends, your communities, and coworkers will all benefit. The more who are vaccinated, the more effective we will be at slowing the spread. It is a safe and effective way you can be a part of bringing COVID-19 under control. Thank you again, Governor, for giving me this chance today.
Thank you, Dr. Hawthorne, and I appreciate you taking the time to share your experience with Iowans. And I want to thank you and your colleagues for your service to our state throughout the last several months. I know it hasn't been easy, especially most recently, and we owe you a debt of gratitude for continuing to care for those in need, no matter the circumstances. So thank you very much. We appreciate you being a part of the press conference today.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
For months, we've been anxiously awaiting a vaccine, knowing that it would mark the most significant turning point in this pandemic. It's finally here, and with it comes the hope that life will truly return to normal in the not-too-distant future. But for now, we must continue to be patient for a few more months as the vaccine supply increases along with the number of people who will be receiving it. That's a critical component to the vaccine's success and its ability to put an end to the pandemic. As many people as possible must be vaccinated to achieve herd immunity across our population. A couple of weeks ago, Dr. Brooks Jackson from UIHC, who was directly involved in the Pfizer clinical trials, joined my press conference and spoke about his confidence in the vaccine's safety and efficacy and encouraged Iowans to be vaccinated when they're able to be. It's normal and expected that people will have many questions about a new vaccine. And to help ensure that Iowans have the information that they need, the Department of Public Health will be providing regular information about the vaccines through social media and other channels so that you can keep up to date with the latest information as it becomes available. We'll also begin reporting the number of Iowans that have been vaccinated. The Iowa Department of Public Health is working now to create a new dashboard that will report our progress on the state's website at coronavirus.iowa.gov. In the meantime, we will provide updates as they're available. We know that the more that you know, the more confident you'll be when making decisions regarding your own vaccination. I want Iowans to know that I plan to be vaccinated after healthcare workers and long-term care residents and staff have received their vaccination. Exactly when that will occur will depend on prioritization for the next phase of the vaccination. Director Garcia is going to speak about that a little bit. My decision to wait isn't based on any hesitancy about the vaccine. Rather, during this first phase, I want to make sure that those on the front lines caring for Iowans and long-term care residents who are at risk are vaccinated first. I'm confident that the vaccine is both safe and effective, and I look forward to being vaccinated as soon as the supply increases and access expands to the broader population, and I'll let you know exactly when that will be. In the meantime, I'll continue to follow public health guidance, as we all must, to protect ourselves and others from the virus while it still remains active in our communities. COVID-19 isn't over simply because the vaccine is here and beginning to be administered, but the finish line is finally in sight. As I said earlier on, the pandemic would be a marathon, not a sprint, and we need to pace ourselves so that we can endure it through the end, and that still holds true today. Achieving widespread vaccination across Iowa will take some time, but we are very close. Just a few short months from now, things could look remarkably different than they have for nearly a year. Our efforts to operationalize vaccinations across the state for all Iowans is unlike anything that we've ever done, and it's happening while we still continue to manage our overall COVID-19 response. The coordination and the collaboration that's occurring at all levels, from local public health departments to regional health care providers to our federal partners, is truly unprecedented. Last week, Kelly Garcia, the director of the Department of Human Services and Public Health, provided a closer look at the overall vaccine strategy for the state. And today, I've asked her to provide an update on the work that IDAC is doing since their first meeting last week. Kelly?
Good morning. Thank you, Governor. This is an exciting week. While we're just beginning to get the vaccine to Iowans, thanks to the thoughtful planning by our IDPH team and local public health partners throughout the state, we're poised to move quickly to protect Iowans from COVID-19. As the governor mentioned, now that Iowans are starting to get vaccinated, we're committed to sharing progress and publicly reporting on our state's progress. As we likely have another vaccine that will be available soon, Moderna, FDA advisors will meet tomorrow, and we anticipate that things will move along a similar path as to what we saw this last weekend with Pfizer approval. A flurry of activity will occur over the weekend, and if things go as planned, we could start seeing Moderna in this state on Monday. This is all great news. However, I want to caution that we are still in the very early stages where supply is limited. And understandably, Iowans want to know what we expect next and who will follow the initial priority group of healthcare workers and long-term care residents and direct care staff. You may recall last week that we announced the Infectious Disease Advisory Council, or IDAC. This group is working to develop vaccine distribution guidance and prioritization of populations early in the vaccine response. This group brings together clinical and ethical expertise from across the state, including university leadership, infectious disease specialists, local public health agencies, key provider associations that represent vulnerable populations, and IDPH and other agency staff. I'm pleased to report that IDAC has met twice and had thoughtful and meaningful conversations. From their first two meetings, the council discussed initial sub-prioritization for populations in phase 1A, which are long-term care residents and those who care for them, and hospital staff. In these settings, all clinical staff do not have the same risk of exposure. The council discussed within those first groups all roles, including those on clinical rotation, students, and other non-clinical staff who are equal parts important to delivering care. IDAC is finalizing those recommendations, which should be available next week. When IDAC meets next week, they will begin to focus their discussion on prioritization for phase 1B, critical infrastructure, which includes those who work in other congregate settings, like schools, food supply, corrections. You can see these are very difficult decisions. Again, this next prioritization will be focused on work settings, and I'm tremendously thankful to our IDAC members who are taking these conversations head on, speaking freely, bringing their expertise to the decision-making process, because these decisions cannot be made lightly or easily. I'm confident that we have the right people at the table for this challenging effort. To assist in their work, we're reaching out to advocates, stakeholders, and employers throughout the state for written input. The council will use this information to inform and guide their discussions. Minutes from the meetings and their recommendations will be posted on our agency website. And as the vaccine becomes more broadly available, it's important for each of us to be thinking about when we'll take the vaccine. I'm eagerly awaiting to get my vaccination. I don't have a date set yet, though I can share that our residents and frontline staff at our resource centers and mental health institutes will receive the vaccine first in the Department of Human Services prioritization, we believe, later this month. This will be quickly followed by prioritization of our DHS social workers who have remained on the front lines throughout this emergency response, continuing to keep in-person contact with the families they serve. I have full confidence in the efficacy and safety of the vaccine and believe it is key to turning the tide of the pandemic. While planning for the logistics has been an effort unlike anything I've ever seen in my career, we know that communications will be critical to this next phase of the effort. While we're working on a robust communications plan to encourage Iowans to get vaccinated, this will focus on sharing facts and information to ensure Iowans know that the vaccine is safe and effective. We'll focus on instilling in Iowans confidence that I have, our IDPH team has, and the medical and scientific community have around this vaccine. It is safe and it works. We will also provide regular updates on our progress in Iowa, and we'll work to reach vulnerable populations, including non-English speakers, refugee communities, those we know have historic hesitation around vaccination. And as I said, this communication effort of our response. With all of that, I would be remiss if I didn't ask Iowans to maintain significant progress on the vaccine front. We have to keep up our fight around using simple public health measures. Wash your hands, socially distance, stay at home if you're sick, and wear a mask.
Thank you, Kelly. And I too want to acknowledge the many people who are working around the clock to make all this possible. This is a team effort. And again, the size and scope of which we've never experienced. I'm extremely proud of and I am grateful for everyone who is a part of this team. Thank you for what you're doing for your state and your fellow Iowans. It's truly incredible. So for our COVID update today, while vaccinations are certainly the big headline this week, there's even more good news regarding the status of COVID-19 here in Iowa. While cases still remain high across the country, we've continued to see an overall decline since mid-November and even further stabilization over the past week. In fact, the CDC reports that Iowa now ranks 35th in the nation for the number of new cases in the last 7 days and 36th for average daily cases per 100,000 population. Iowa's statewide average positivity rate over the last 14 days is now 13.8% and 10.4% over the last 7 days. At a county level, the 7-day positivity trend paints a very positive picture. Only one county is at 20%, 12 are between 15 and 20, 44 counties are between 10 and 15%, and 42 are below 10%. Our hospitals remain stable, and the number of Iowans hospitalized are continuing to decline. Hospitalizations are half of what they were in mid-November, when the number of Iowans hospitalized with COVID-19 peaked at more than 1,500. As I mentioned last week, the state has secured nurses from across the country to provide additional staffing for Iowa hospitals through December 30th. Effective yesterday, all 104 nurses have reported for duty at their assigned locations. And additional resources for contact tracing are now assisting the state with case investigations in 67 of our 99 counties. I'm pleased to report that the team is now officially caught up with the calls to Iowans recently diagnosed with COVID-19. And during the recent surge in new cases, calls were delayed by several days because of the high volume that we were experiencing. And with the additional resources now in place, the team is also able to expand the scope of case investigations beyond households again. On Monday, eight semi-loads of the state's semi-loads left the state's central warehouse filled with PPE for approximately 430 long-term care facilities. Deliveries have been made to the regional nodes, and gowns, gloves, and masks have already arrived in some counties for distribution to their facilities. We've made tremendous progress over the last several weeks, in large part due to Iowans adjusting their behavior, and we're seeing the positive impact that it's had. This doesn't mean that our work is done, but it's proof that we have the tools necessary to effectively manage the virus while balancing the activities of our daily lives. And we've now seen firsthand how serious the consequences can be when we don't strike that balance. As I mentioned earlier, the virus is still circulating in our communities and across the state. But if we continue to control the things that we can control and do our part to prevent another surge, there's no reason that we can't effectively live with COVID-19 a little longer. As I've said for many months, our response to the pandemic must protect both the lives and livelihoods of Iowans. And we each have a personal responsibility to contribute to that collective goal. The stakes are high. We want our lives to go back to normal. We want to keep our businesses open, and we want our children back in the classroom. And we want to have and ensure that we have a strong healthcare system that's there when we need it, regardless of the circumstances. All of this is possible. All of this is possible, and it's up to each one of us to make it happen. So today, I am making some adjustments to the proclamation of disaster emergency, which are effective tomorrow at 12:01 a.m. through January 8th. These changes reduce some of the restrictions on businesses, but continue to require safe and responsible behaviors during everyday activities and interactions. Bars and restaurants can resume their normal hours of operations, but patrons must still be seated when eating or drinking, limited to 8 per group or household, distanced 6 feet from other groups, and masks are required when individuals are not seated. spectators at high school youth or adult high school youth or adult sporting, recreation, or extracurricular events will be slightly expanded to include the member of a participant's household. Gathering limitations will be lifted, but 6 feet of distance between groups or individuals in attendance is required. This holiday season, I encourage you to celebrate, but celebrate responsibly. We saw the benefit that adjusting our traditions over Thanksgiving had. I've heard from many friends and fellow Iowans who found smaller gatherings even a little more enjoyable and much less stressful. Continue to be mindful. You know, it's easy for us to let our guard down when we're gathering with family members and friends, and that's exactly why these types of gatherings tend to be where we see the virus spread. So we've seen the positive effects that gathering in small groups can have, so please keep that in mind throughout the holiday season. It won't be long now before the vaccine becomes more widely available, and life truly is back to normal, and it will be worth the wait. In closing, I want to announce the holiday hours for the state-operated Test Iowa drive-through locations in Des Moines, Davenport, Cedar Rapids, Waterloo, and Council Bluffs. We'll be following the schedule that was similar to Thanksgiving. Sites will be open on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, but the Council Bluffs location will close early at 2 p.m. on those days to allow samples to be transported to the state hygienic lab for processing. All other sites will close at 4 p.m. as usual, and tests will be processed throughout the night so results can be reported in a timely manner. All sites and the lab will be closed on Friday, December 25th for Christmas Day and Friday, January 1st for New Year's Day. The lab will reopen on each of the following Saturdays to continue processing. We'll reopen the following Mondays as usual at 8 a.m. And with that, I will go ahead and take your questions.
Governor, can you talk a little bit about the logic of putting the number of people vaccinated on the website? And is that to encourage others to see that? Or maybe Director Garcia could talk about that. And does that just promote the fact that here's all these people getting it, looked at this, you should get it too?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, but as Director Garcia indicated, we're going to do a communications outreach, a significant effort in that manner. So all along, we've done our best to try to keep Iowans updated as we've moved through the pandemic. And so this would just be another way that we would continue to inform Iowans the process and the progress that we're seeing as Iowans become vaccinated. So, you know, eventually we'll continue to have more information and we'll post it on the website. But until that point, we'll try to often update Iowans with the progress that we're seeing and the number of individuals that have been vaccinated. Just like I did this morning when I indicated the number of healthcare workers to date that had been vaccinated. I think it was 503 yesterday, and those numbers will continue to grow as our healthcare workers, and then we start to disseminate to our long-term care facilities, residents, and staff, and we intend to keep Iowans updated on those numbers. But, you know, we're going to continue to do our best to encourage Iowans to get vaccinated. It's safe, it's the responsible thing to do, and it's how we start to return life back to normal. And so we're going to have a concerted effort to encourage Iowans to do just that.
Governor, does your adjusted proclamation continue the mask requirements, and do you attribute that to the slowing of the pandemic?
Well, no, I think it's all of the mitigations that come together. So, you know, it's staying home when you're sick. It's washing your hands often. It's social distancing. It's being aware of your surroundings and thinking about who you're gathering with. It's wearing a mask. It's all of those efforts, I think, have played a role in us seeing our numbers and the trends that we're seeing from hospitalizations to positive cases to all of that. So it's all of that together. I don't think you could ever point to just one aspect and say, you know, that's the reason why. And it's changed a little bit throughout the pandemic when we were able to see that, you know, young people gathering in bars. When they went back to school, we saw a tremendous spike, and we were able through case investigation to trace that back to the gatherings in some of the bars with the age range. And so that's why we made the decisions that we made at that point. And we saw the numbers spike, and we saw the numbers come back down. And so we'll continue to assess the situation and make decisions accordingly.
Governor, can you explain why the IDAC Council hasn't been complying with open meetings laws? I mean, is there a reason why it doesn't fit under the open meetings laws?
So I think there's a couple of different reasons. The first and foremost is that we have been working really hard to balance transparency, but with having a free flow of conversations. And you can imagine the type of conversation that we're having, that the group is having together, is on prioritization, and these are difficult. They're challenging. The council, first and foremost, does not meet the definition of what's required under the Open Meetings Act. But I really do need there, because these recommendations ultimately come to me, and I present them to the governor, I really do need there to be a free-flowing dialogue. And so we, to strike that balance, are going to make sure that the minutes are posted and the recommendations are made public. But I want the clinicians and the other experts in that room to be able to ask questions of each other without additional criticism of what those questions might be. It will provide the healthiest of recommendations.
So do you know what exception it would meet under the law?
It's under Chapter 21. I'm happy to provide follow-up. I have a more detailed answer.
Okay,
I can follow up.
Thank you.
Governor, you mentioned that, it's a number of things, the mitigation efforts, mm-hmm. not just masks, it's not just, you know, any sort of other restrictions, but you're taking a key one away with the gathering limitations. I'm curious what went into that decision, especially when we're getting into the holidays, people are going home, likely to see friends and family. I mean, couldn't that just drive up the numbers again in a few weeks?
Well, you know, as I indicated, I think Iowans have stepped up and done the right thing, and I believe that they'll continue to make the right decision. We are so close to seeing the end of this, and I think they know that. They see that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and they recognize the fact that they just need to hang on a little bit longer. So, again, I believe that we struck the right balance, Caroline, and it's the right thing to do. We'll continue to monitor it. I think Iowans, I've demonstrated that if I see the numbers impact our hospitalizations and our hospitals are concerned about being able to meet the needs of Iowans, then we'll dial back up. And that's what I've done throughout the pandemic. I don't want to over restrict. I think you have to be careful of doing that. As the governor of the state of Iowa, I have to find that balance to protect the life and livelihoods of Iowans. We're seeing devastating statistics with kids that aren't in school. We're seeing an increase in suicides. We're seeing domestic abuse increases. So there's always that side of it. We see business owners that have seen their businesses have to close because they can't make it due to the pandemic. So it's just a balance of all that. But again, I think we've shown Iowans that it can work by doing the right thing. I think people are aware of who they're gathering with, who's tested positive, who's, you know, quarantining, and what that looks like. I'm just saying sometimes we let our guard down when we're with family and when we're with friends. So think about that. And if you can't social distance, then put a mask on. Or think about maybe not getting together until maybe later.
But of course, this comes in the context, though, of a vaccine. Is there concern, though, that the promise of the vaccine would create some sense of false hope? And
no,
then
I don't think so. It's in light of a lot of things. It's in light of the fact that we have new therapeutics every single day. It's in light of the fact that not only do we have Regeneron, but we also have the monoclonal Lilly therapeutic. And that's another step in helping really relieve the impact that our hospitals are seeing. So if you test positive and you're over 65 or you have underlying conditions, ask your clinician about the opportunity to receive an infusion, because they have supplies, and that can help keep people out of the hospital. It has to do with the fact that FDA just approved today a home COVID-19 test. So every day we have new options coming on board that can help us, you know, really address COVID-19 and the pandemic until we have the opportunity to make sure that everybody that wants a vaccine gets a vaccine. So, you know, it's part of all of that. We'll continue to watch it. And if we see it trending in the wrong direction, we'll adjust accordingly.
Particularly if Moderna
have a timeline or a deadline when it hopes to make those
recommendations, those 1B, phase 1B recommendations?
Do you have a timeline? I mean, we're still working on one. They're still working on 1A right now as we see the additional vaccines come in, but they're anxious to, because we know that, you know, we want to take our time and have a very healthy discussion about what that looks like. And so they're ready to get started on 1B, but they have not yet. And as soon, I mean, you're close. Yeah, this week, Kelly?
Next week.
Next week is when?
They'll start the discussion.
They'll start the discussion, but not necessarily won't have the recommendations.
Oh, okay. We won't even have the vaccines available for a while.
Particularly if Moderna would be actually arriving next week. How do you decide who gets which one of those vaccines and where they go if we end up having both of those coming?
So one of the advantages of the Moderna vaccine, and I will probably turn it over to Kelly if I get outside of my lane just a little bit, is it doesn't require that ultra cold storage and it's smaller doses. And so that really will benefit some of our rural area and our ability to disseminate to some of our long-term care facilities. So that really brings an additional advantage for us helping distribute this to all four corners of the state. So that's an advantage of that. The Pfizer vaccine requires that ultra cold storage and just has some other issues that we have to that are a little bit problematic, but we're working with it. So Kelly, anything else that you want to add to that?
Just really quickly. There are some, so as the governor mentioned, there are some just operational considerations to take into account that are somewhat significant. Ultra cold storage is I think the primary. The number of vials that are in a package are the other. So it's 975 in the Pfizer distribution. And we really have been advised by Pfizer as to not break that up. So you need to send it to a facility that can take on that number and use it and use it in the time that we need to make sure that it's getting to as many people as possible. Pfizer will be shipped and we will engage in the long-term care pharmacy partnership, which I talked about last week at the press conference, and we provided additional information on. And those national pharmacy chains are really equipped to handle both the cold storage as well as the sheer number of doses, and that will help hub and spoke out. Moderna will be shipped, and we work in consultation with local public health authorities, right? So our local public health partners are really deciding exactly where that vaccine goes within the parameters set by both our federal partners and IDAC, where it goes in each community.
Governor, it's my understanding that the CARES Act money must be spent by the end of the year. How are you spending the $21 million?
So it sounds, we have a plan to be able to do that. So we will be able to do that, and it has to be allocated, and then that expenditure can go past the end of the year. I am cautiously optimistic. It's our understanding that the negotiations are continuing forward at the federal level, and we hope as part of that negotiation that they will extend past December 30th our ability to allocate the CARES dollars. And that just will allow us to do it in a more efficient and effective manner. And some of the money, for instance, that broadband that we allocated, they just couldn't get the supplies and they weren't able to execute in the time that they needed to. And so we had some leftover funds from the broadband allocation that we could circle back and possibly make available, which is so important. We know with what we've experienced with COVID-19 and our reliance on connectivity, whether it's education, healthcare, or work. And so I'm really hoping that they can find some consensus. And we hear this week because, you know, we have a timeline. And so we're kind of bucketing that and looking at some different options that we would be able to get that allocated in a timely manner.